Father, we thank you for setting us apart. That, Lord, we have come out of the world and into your kingdom. Oh, Father, touch our hearts today with your word. Let this word be, I know we've heard it over and over, and we've gone through this passage many times. We've heard these things. Let it be afresh to us today. Let us gain maybe clear insight into it. Word of you, Lord, is individually for us. And where we're at individually, Lord. It speaks to the masses, but yet it speaks to the individual. And may we glean something from it, Lord, today. To continue for us to grow into that relationship with you. And that we are able to look at the things in this life and make sure that they don't have a pull on us, Lord, to pull us back. But that, Lord, we can turn from those and keep our eyes fixated upon you and the plan that you have. Amen. And Lord, just let this be your time. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to John 15. We're speaking in regards to your life and service to him. Talking about casting the boat further out, casting the net over, talking about to serve him, you got to set apart your family, your cares of this life, if you're going to serve him in the kingdom. As you've set your hand upon that plow, he tells you, you're not fit for the kingdom if you look back. He gets pretty serious with us in regards to what it takes to serve him. We got to understand the seriousness of it, but the lovingness of it, because he loves us so much. But don't you know a father, a parent that loves their children so much will tell them the things that they need to correct, and there will be sometimes corrections necessary from that of the parent to the child, because you want them to grow up to what you see in them and what you want them to be, the full potential of your earthly children. And it's the same way with God and us as his children, and as we begin to serve him and come to him and turn our lives to him and turn away from the world that we came out of. And so God is telling us that there's these times of service to him is important and it is imperative. And his word tells us the things he looks at, that if we don't do these things, he may just cast you out as far as where we're at with him. Oh, you're going to get to heaven, but you're going to lose the benefits of so many other things that even he had for you in this life. And I'm not striving to get crowns and jewels and all of these things when I get to heaven. I just want to be doing what I'm to be doing here, and whatever my reward in heaven is going to be, I leave it to that of God, which it's going to be with him anyway, right? But I want to do it to the point of I just want to fulfill and I just want to please him and I want to honor him and let everything else fall where it may be. And so we're going to look at this in John 15, the vine. We've had a Sunday school lesson on this a few years back. It was really enlightening as far as how this guy broke it apart as far as the vine dresser and things of that nature. That God is the vine dresser. He is pruning and vine and caring for his vine, right? Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and how he is trimming us and how God is the looking at us as the branch. And so we need to find out where we fit into these things. We want to look at John 15:2 is where it starts, and I would ask, what type of branch are you? What kind of branch are you in this? In John 15:2 it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, or it would say, he lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You see, when we get into him and with God, when we bear a little fruit, we think that's good enough. I'm happy where I'm at. But God is going to expect more from you. He's got many more plans, bigger plans, a lot more invested in things that he wants to see you accomplish. And so we've got to be willing to understand when those times come that we are pruned It's not necessarily that he's upset with us, but he's just getting us stronger to be able to get more and to see more fruit from us. The New Century Version says, he cuts off every branch of mine. This is Jesus speaking. He cuts off every branch because Jesus is the vine. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he trims and cleans every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. See, we get into this life with God and we think we're happy where we're at. I've made it. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I want to stop right here. God will not allow you to stop right there. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep producing. You've got to keep producing other things that he's got planned for you to do. And so it's going to take some pruning. And if you're pruned, that's okay. What about the Amplified? Classic says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit. That means any branch in me that stops bearing fruit, he cuts away, trims off, takes away. Could you believe that if you stop bearing fruit, you've got some fruit there, but you stop bearing it? He goes, well, that's good enough, but that's not where it needs to be. It clips it off. Because usually once you prune that, what comes out after the pruning bears more. He trims or he takes away and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more. And this is the Amplified. I love this classic. Bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Was that what yours was reading there, Janice? I saw you. You're liking it too, weren't you? I like that. I like that. More richer and a more excellent fruit. He's wanting more richer and more excellent fruit out of you. Guess what? It's going to take us to work on it. It's going to take us to be in tune to God and to be alert to God and to keep our hand on the plow and not look back. It's going to take us launching into the deep. It's going to take us separating and set apart the cares that we have. The cares of our family, we've got to set them apart to a point to say, we got to have you, God. We got to have you. I have to have you. In John 15:2, it states that God, the vine dresser, removes the branches in Christ that bears no fruit and prunes those that do, ensuring that they become more fruitful. This verse highlights the need for spiritual productivity. Spiritual productivity. With pruning representing the cleansing or a refining process to increase in spiritual productivity. Spiritual productivity. Some of these things that we look at. God continually removes these branches that are fruitless, prunes those that are productive. What's the goal of this? It's to increase the fruit that is now there, make it even better. He's wanting to make you better, stronger, more viable for the kingdom of God. With that of good works, with character, with that of obedience. Remember we said last week, I think, obedience is better than sacrifice. Oh, look what all I'm laying down for God. What you're laying down for God might only be half of what he's really asked you to do. You decided to lay it down, and now you're puffed up thinking you're pretty good stuff. But where is the obedience at? Did he ask you to do more? Did we get to that point where, later, God, I'll do it later? No. When God speaks to you and he wants you, it's now. He'll prepare you for the things of the future, but to prepare you for the things of the future, he's got to prepare you for the things right now, and you got to do the things right now that might sometimes be difficult or totally out of your wheelhouse, so to speak, that what you feel that you can do, but God knows you can do it because he's going to put himself into you to accomplish those things, to improve those things, to grow you in those things that he has for you, his talents, his abilities in you, so that he's preparing you for that other thing down the road. So it takes the thing now, it's right now. You can't say later, God. later, because for you in this world, later never comes. Remember, that's like when he had talked about those, let those that are dead bury the dead. But let me, the last week or two back, I talked about the buts. But, well, I'll serve you and follow you, Jesus, but let me go back to my family first to bid them goodbye. No. Lord, I'll follow you and do this and that, but let me go bury my father. But. So we have all these other things that we want to put before that of God. Back then they were doing that. Today we do that. That is so important for us to grasp a hold of these things in God's word and apply them to 2026, right? We can't go back. We can't, like in Sunday school, we can't make the moon or the sun go back 10 steps. It's moving forward. Now, if God wants to send it back, he'll send it back. But I'm going to tell you, God's got an army marching through this land. God is going forward with his plan. And nothing is going to detract from it. Nothing is going to derail it. I don't care how crazy this life gets. I don't care how evil this place gets. It will not detract from what God's plan will be. If nothing else, where sin comes in, grace comes in higher. Amen? And so whatever comes in and whatever the devil of the god of this world, Satan, throws into this world and tries to create all kinds of wackiness and craziness, there's a level and a bar of God that will rise above it. And that's what we have got to do as Christians, is not go down to where the bar is at, but when God raises the bar, we need to achieve the height of that bar and even more, and not try to be satisfied, well, I did at least what the world's doing. Well, if you accomplish what the world is doing, you're not pleasing God. We have got to stay on that level of saying, I've got to get better. I've got to get stronger. I've got to learn more. I got to get deeper. I got to go higher. Whatever the case is with God. If we don't do that, I'm going to tell you, it seems like at times the world is running behind you and nipping at your heels. And if it can get a hold of your heels, it'll just get a hold of it and say, come back here. Look, you're a little bit, you're at least better than these people down here. We always want to compare ourselves. If I can just be a little bit better than the person behind me, I'm okay. No. If you are slacking off of what God wants you to do, if you are not fulfilling the things of God's call on your life, if you are not wanting to attain the best that God has for you, you're not fulfilling the plan of God in your life. And he may just prune you. Because your fruit is there, but it's not what it could be. Some of the interpretations, remember I said this, some of the verses and translations said about lifting up. Some of these interpretations suggest that taking away, arrow, A-I-R-O, I think it is arrow, means or can mean lifting up or cleaning a weak branch rather than just cutting it off. Maybe that's what it is. He's just going to lift you up to clean you off. Thank you, Lord. You know, you would think of those things, and I'm not a horticulturalist or whatever, but I do remember with tomatoes and things, that there would be those suckers, and even on trees sometimes, they have like sucker branches come out. And so you have to go through there and pick those off because they're going to drain the nutrients of what's going up in that vine to make a nice tomato. So you got to go, nope, 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 too many little blooms on there, so you got to choose, and if this one looks pretty healthy and these are kind of like, you're going to go, you're going to go out. You're going to take that one out, right? So you look at that as trees. You know, you see little sappers and saplings that come along these maple trees and different trees. You want to go and cut them off because they're not where they should be. And so those things happen. And you would see, you know, out in, I'm sure out in the valleys in California and places that have vineyards for grapes and stuff, they go through and they dress those vines to pluck off those that are weak, those that look that possibly have some kind of a disease. So they're gonna trim that and they're gonna be careful because they want the totality of that vine to be healthy and strong. So they're there to trim and to take and to look. God is going to do that with his kingdom. And one of the areas here that we'll get down to, it talks about it may be to where he's going to remove something because it could infect the rest of the vine. You know, you sometimes think of people in churches that are there, but they're not totality there of supporting the church's mission. And the church's mission should be that of God's mission. And so if that church and the people there don't want to support God's mission, it could very well be that God will prune those situations out. It's kind of like going back in time. In 2006, and when Pastor put me as the pastor here, one of my first prayers and things were, Lord, if there are people here that should not be here because they've caused dissension and problems, Father God, I ask you to remove them. I'll just leave it there. It's a hard thing to do, but I'm going to tell you, because I'd seen so many issues with Believers Faith Fellowship and things that were out in the body when we had 125 people here, 75 people here, 130 people here, whatever the case is, that I felt many times we were on the cusp. I don't know if it was just me, but I felt spiritually, I thought, Lord, we are right here, Lord, to go into that next thing with Believers Faith Fellowship. And before we could do that, all of a sudden something happened. And there was dissension, and there was problems. And it's like, and I don't know how many times that happened, but I was here long enough, and I felt my heart hurt for Pastor Hoblett. Because I said, oh dear Lord, this man has put so many years in his life here. And trying to get to that next plateau, that next thing, God, we had this place packed. We had music. We had revival taking place. You know, you think back when this church started, and we hear these things on Thursdays. Like I had said earlier, that baby grand is because of Rick Renner. Back in the days when Andrew Womack began, guess who came to Believers Faith Fellowship? Andrew Womack. Yeah. I've got some papers in the drawers back in the 80s. Andrew Womack coming through and ministering. Pastor was in the vein of powerful things of ministry. It's amazing. It is not to have the biggest and the best in man's eyes, but it's to have the greatest and the most God-connected or God-following or God-whatever is what you want as a body of believers. Is we just want to love you, God. We just want to honor you, God. We just want to proclaim you, God. We want you to look and work through us, God, to touch other people's lives. There's been more times of ministry that I've done outside the four walls of this church in the 20, well, how many years now? 2026? Well, my gosh. 20 years. So as we look at this, we've got to keep ourselves in tune to God. We've got to keep ourselves plugged into Him. We've got to allow Him to prune us to make us even stronger and more fuller, more richer, more excellent in the things that He has for us. God intended for our lives is to progress from barrenness to fruitfulness. When we came to Him as sinners and we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, He started with nothing. I started with nothing. But I became a new creation in Him, to where now that I'm new, I want to develop and grow in you, God. So He took me, He takes you from that of barrenness to fruitfulness and into spiritual abundance. Isn't it great to grow in the spiritual abundance of God? To where you can rely upon Him by that of the Spirit, you hear from Him by that of the Spirit. He speaks to you at night in the quiet hours. He speaks to you when you're going through a medical situation that you've got to have. That God will bring a peace to you. But God intends for our lives to progress. Jesus repeats the command for believers to love each other. We find in this context, he goes so far to refer to those fellow as his friends. We find that we're called friends of Jesus, friends of his. Sons and daughters. Wow. The fruit that the vine dresser is looking for in his people is that of Christ-likeness. We are to exemplify that of Christ in our lives. Because the people see a lot of the worldly things out there every day. But they don't see the Christ-likeness as they should. Turn to Galatians 5. 21, 23. Galatians 5, it talks about Christian liberty. What better person that has liberty than that of a Christian? We don't have to worry about the things of this world. We don't have to think about, well, I got to do this to make them happy. I got to perform to help this or to do that. We just want to live our life of serving God. But Christian liberty, oh, hallelujah. Then we get into that walking in the Spirit in verses 16 on. But then when we get to 22, and this is what? Remember, Christ likeness is this. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against there is such no law. Gentleness, that of meekness. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit, we are to be Christ-like. We need to show that of the Spirit of Christ. Now we know the lust of the flesh, right? You don't want to walk in that. But if you are not led by the Spirit, verse 18 of Galatians 5:18, but now the works of the flesh are evident. You can see that like at the drop of a hat. Adultery, fornicators, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy. Oh, it didn't even stop there. I'm sorry, you got to go down to 21. Envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelers, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will do what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know. That's not me saying it. That's God's word saying it. But I do know he wants us to be out of Christ-likeness, of being love and joy, peace, long-suffering or meekness, the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, the gentleness of a person, the self-control. So the vine dresser is looking for his people in that of like Christ-likeness. I can hurt God. If I do something and my spirit feels a check in it, I go, oh dear God, I am sorry if I hurt you. Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Did I not do something right? Father God, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to have people look at you because I speak so highly of you. Forgive me. It's a very important thing that we're proclaiming. In order to be productive, a branch must submit to pruning. See, we got to submit ourselves. And I think that's one of the things about myself is that when I said earlier, if I felt like I offended God or did something in error, that I got to go to him and say, Lord God, correct me. Just like I would go to Pastor Hoblett back in the day and said, if I do something wrong, speak into my life. I give you full authorization to come and correct me in the things of God or the things of my actions, because I don't want to hurt that of God. I don't want to bring something against that of the church or things into your ministry, Pastor. But we got to be willing to submit. Not many people are willing to submit. We had a lot of people come in and want to mentor under Pastor in this. I'll mentor under you. Mentor. They will mentor as long as you don't have to correct them. Once you have to correct them, they get upset. They get puffed up. And they start making all kinds of things crazy. And the best thing to do is they need to leave. Or ask for forgiveness and come back and work it out. But we need to submit to say, here am I, God. Prune me. Correct me. Because, see, God is a loving God. And God will only take off the things that he knows will not do you well. And he's going to do those things so that this can happen. You will have much richer fruit and more excellent fruit. That's what God is looking for in all of us. So we must submit to pruning, and we must be maintained and abiding in union with the vine. We got to stay connected. You can't have lone rangers out there in the kingdom of God. You get a lot of people that are lone rangers out there. Oh, I know what God's doing. I'm going to do this. I'm going out there. Well, no, you need to stay where you're at probably and work under that church, that umbrella or that covering or whatever the case might be. But we get a lot of people, lone rangers out there. And once they get that lone ranger mentality, I don't think they're going to allow God, and they're not maybe going to submit to that of God. And there could be some problems there, but those are the ones, when those things happen, I believe he takes the shears out and he goes, prunes it. In verse 2, the fruitless branch which does not abide in the vine, in verse 6. So I got to go back, John 15. Verse 6 says, well, let's just go down. I'm going to start in 1. I should have read this through a little bit. I'm going to start out in chapter 15. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Sometimes that's where people go out there and want to do it on my own. I can do it. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We've got to stay attached to the things of God. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. In 6 it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. But in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. But this, my Father, by this my Father is what? Glorified. That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So the verse 2, the fruitless branch was does not abide in the vine. Verse 6, it says it's destroyed. The immediate reference we could look at that is thinking about that of Judas. It could possibly mean, as an example, this is what happened to somebody, you know? But the idea applies to all believers. All believers that are really not following the requirements of Christ. You could say that they are false believers, are their false followers. Got to be careful. That little leaven leavens a lot. It's not that God, he can take care of all of this craziness. But we don't understand sometimes the importance of us individually to guard what you've got. To guard the house of worship. To guard these things that are of that of God. Some footnotes and some thoughts of this. Christ is the vine and God is the gardener who cares for the branches to make them fruitful. The branches are those who claim to be that of followers of Christ. The fruitful branches are true believers who, by their living in union with that of Christ, will begin to produce much fruit. But those who become unproductive, see that? They become unproductive. At one time they're productive, but we get into a thing and we just kind of, I don't want to build any more fruit. I'm just happy where I'm at. See, God does not want us to get stagnant with Him. That kind of reminds me, why do you see scum build over a pond that's just a pond? It's because there's no water flowing. And if you don't have constant water flowing, like that of a stream or that of a river, there's a good chance that that water will stay there and it goes through this and it goes through that, and all of a sudden it gets a skim on it because it's just stagnant. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't smell good. And it gets yucky, and it, guess what it does? It breeds mosquitoes. Mosquitoes will find that and put their larvae in there because they know it's not going to be washed away because it's stagnant water, and they can just lay their eggs there and they'll be fine. They don't build their larvae nest in rivers and streams because it's a constant flowing freshness. We need to be in the stream of God all the time so that we don't get stagnated into things that we like, but we don't want to move further because we like them. And if I go further, it means I might have to require more of me. And I don't want to get more of you, God, of me. I want to keep some of myself for me because I like some of the things that I do. And when I say that to God, all of a sudden He might say, well, Tim, I'm going to just set you over here then. Because you're not really fulfilling what I want you to do. And I will become stagnant in the ministries. I'll get stagnant in the spiritual things. I will get stagnant to where pretty soon I got moss growing over me, scum. I end up picking up impurities. We've got to stay in the flow of God to keep that cleansing and refreshing and that water going over us, the watering of the Word. Being active in the Word of God. Having God active in our lives so that we stay alert and sensitive and able to pray. You know, you're not running out of race. You're not going to Africa. You're not going to start a children's ministry over in whatever country. But you're prayer warriors. You can be a prayer warrior. We all should be prayer warriors to the point of when we hear something, we need to pray. We need to get to the thing right then. Because that's what God has us here to do. But we could become unproductive. And those who turn back from following Christ after making a superficial commitment, that's that superficial, oh, I'm going to just say enough to get me there. Superficial. It'll keep so-and-so off my back. Or it's just like, well, I'm going to say this, but I'm just going to say it. Superficial commitment to that of God. We look at it, didn't Jesus give His all? Didn't God send Jesus, His Son, to die for you for all? It's not like, well, by the stripes on Jesus' back, He had just a superficial commitment to take care of men's sins and all that. No, it required death, spilling of the blood. Those who turn back from following Christ after making that superficial commitment, they will be separated from the vine. Unproductive followers are as good as dead and will be cut off and tossed aside. We find Jesus making a distinction between the two kinds of pruning. One is cutting off and the other is cutting back. A little different there, right? One is cutting off, the other is cutting back. The fruitful branches are trimmed to promote more growth. This trimming can be considered as God's disciplining us. Oh, we don't want to be disciplined. Don't we? Oh, don't want God to discipline me. But sometimes you got to be disciplined. You got to say, I deserve it, God. You're right, God. You caught me, God. Oh, God. But He does it in love. Because He sees the good of what we can be. Trimming could be considered as God disciplining us to do what? Strengthen our character and our faith. It's by the faith we live. It's by how we handle situations. It's how we deal with problems. It's how we go into something that we don't know what it's going to turn out to be, but by faith I know my God is there. By faith God is already there. By faith He's got me coming through that. By faith. Well, how do you know that, Tim? I just know. I just know that I know. How do you know, Tim? It's just by faith I take my God. I don't think I can prove God wrong because I look around at everything and He's got everything so right. In the stories we read, like in Job, and different things, we want to complain and all of this and all of that, and Jonah and all these things, it's just like in the whales. But God will always, and I just hear that in the back of my mind when I begin to think I can correct God, that I hear, "Oh, Tim, where were you when I created everything?" Oh, well, now that you say it that way, God, I'll just sit down. Yes, Lord. You're right, God. Where was I? Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I love you. Disciplining us to strengthen our character and our faith. For the branches that don't bear fruit are cut off at the trunk, not only due to not being productive, but they also could be infected. Infected. That little infection, that little whatever thing in that vine, it could destroy the whole crop if it went and it was, when it went and it. Yeah, what I want to say. It ran rampant. That's what I was trying to come out with. That little virus in that vine, it would run rampant over that vine and kill out everything. Cutting off of the trunk, not only due to not being productive, but it could be infected. So the complete cutting from the vine is to protect the vine. God wants to protect His work. The people that don't bear fruit for God, or who will try to block the efforts of God's followers or even His plans, here it is sometimes, will be removed from the fruit-bearing vine, will be removed from the possible church that they were at, or whatever ministry they're a part of, whatever the case is. If we are serious with God enough to say, I mean, there's even times that I would have to say, "Lord, okay, Lord, I've had it. Lord, if I am not to be at this church, then get me out of there." Because I believe and trust my God that if it's not to be, that He's got other plans. And we don't need to sidetrack them. We don't need to hold on to them. We don't need to say, "This is mine." But it's because you want so much of God to be produced, and you want so much of God to be glorified, and you want God to have the glory and to fulfill what this 10 acres is to do upon this earth. And where it's at, I don't know, but you've got to come to that in service, I believe, to say, "Lord, if I've run the course, and it's time, give me a nod. Give me a nod. Give me a nod, nod in my head. Yeah, a nod. Give me a nod on my head. But the way God got me here, and the way He's provided, how could you not have trust in God? For me, I'm personally just speaking to myself personally by faith. I mean, God has got a plan. If we could all look, 10 years down, 5 years down, whatever that plan might be. But we got to be careful, because what His plan is could very well scare you to the point of bailing out on Him, because you're not ready for it. But He's preparing us. He's pruning us. He's strengthening us. He's building us into a much richer fruit, a much excellent fruit, a much better, stronger, because He says, "Oh, what's coming in the next 5 years? You've got to attain this." And as long as we continue on that climb with God, He will keep you around, because there's greater things to come. There's greater things for the church here, and I don't know what that is. I mean, even if we close down, greater things are going to come out of the church somehow, some way. I mean, you look at if this church was nothing more than a starting point for that of Rick Renner and Andrew Womack and some other high-profile ministers and pastors that are evangelists that come through, that was back in the 80s, and now you look where they're at. I got stuff in my office there that was sent by Rick Renner when he was in Russia of old concentration camps. There's a plaque there that said this strand of barbed wire came from such and such a concentration camp in Russia. And so as this little church out in the country, we've probably done a tremendous amount of things that we don't even know about. And I'm fine, whatever the Lord says, keep the switch on or turn the switch off. I'm fine with whatever it is because I got peace with that of God. See, when man gets in it and says we can't let it fail, it becomes man. And then man is striving and battling and striving and battling all for naught. But God is so good and so faithful. So, in closing, when a vine produces much fruit, find that in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. When a vine produces much fruit, verse 15:8, God is glorified. This analogy shows how God is glorified when people come to a right relationship with Him, and they begin to produce much fruit in their life to give God the glory. Amen? That's what it's about. Not for me. See, we all come into this. Nobody knew us when we stepped on this earth. Not a whole lot of people around this earth know anybody. No, they don't know any of us in here. But God does. But we have traversed and walked this earth for a time and a period serving God. And when that time comes to where He calls us home, like the old word says, we are nothing but a vapor. We're here today and gone. The old thing of when you have a funeral and you look at the headstone and barn and 1918 and died in 1998. I think that was my dad. 1918, 1998, 1996. It's like the beginning and the end, but the most important thing is what was accomplished in that dash that separated those two dates. And for us in our lives here today, it's that thing. It's like what's most important is, yeah, it is important you were born and you die, but what the important thing is, what happened in that dash in serving that of God and serving humankind, mankind? The things that God had planned for you to do, to accomplish, have you done those things? Our prayers for people that are sick, we say, Lord, if they've not fulfilled the call of the thing of life that you have, if they've not fulfilled your call on their life, Lord, sustain them. It was just like Hezekiah, like 15 years, like give them another 5 years, 10 years, 15, whatever the case is. But Lord, I just pray they fulfill the plan that you have for them. And when that time comes, and then they go to bed, they close their eyes, you know, and they wake up in heaven. What a way to go, you know. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, how it leads us and guides us into our days of today. Father, as we read about that of the vine dresser, and you're that vine dresser, Lord, we pray that we continue to bear much and richer fruit for you, Lord God, that we keep ourselves in that, I don't want to say the fight, but we just keep ourselves in that area and that realm with you, Lord, day in and day out, to glorify you, to do more for you, Father God. You need us here to proclaim the light. We need to show the love and the peace and the joy that you have. There's a mighty work to be done, Lord, and you're still there working it out. I'm thankful that we're a part of it. Continue to give us strength and the ability to do it. Continue to keep us strong and keep our bodies vibrant to go forth. Keep each one safe, I pray. Protect us as we go out. Protect our families. But Lord, let us continue to want to glorify you. And we thank you, Lord, for those times that you prune us, Lord, just because you want us to have richer fruit, tastier fruit, bigger fruit. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.